Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and we are not today streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me still on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter X at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. And also you can find us on our TikTok account, which we launched about a month ago and it's been doing pretty well. So make sure you join in on the fun on TikTok at the Zach Gelb Show. Whole lot to do today. Mike Sanford's going to join us live via the phone at 4 p.m. Eastern time, the former college coach. We will go around what's supposed to be a very busy weekend in college football. We'll also sprinkle in a ton of the NFL as well. Back from Mexico, appreciate it. I think it was Gresh the last few days filling on in, even though Gresh is just embarrassing himself. Just embarrassing himself. I know that he takes a little bit of an annoyance up with this show, even when he's filling in on this show, with how we come back from our 5:40 p.m. Eastern time break with a song from the Backstreet Boys, which they did for me, which is Zach is Back All Right. And that's not AI. That was the authentic Backstreet Boys when I ran into them at a Super Bowl once a few years ago. And I asked them if they could do the song Zach is Back All Right, which is awesome. So we play it each and every day at 5:40 p.m. Eastern time. Gresh, his panties are all in a bunch whenever we do that. And then I spoke to Gresh when I left the studio on Friday because I think he was filling in for JR. So I spoke to him via down the line. And he goes, you don't like, turkey on Thanksgiving. And I'm like, yeah, I don't. My family hates turkey on Thanksgiving. We don't do it. We haven't done it for almost two decades now. And we have a wonderful, and I mean a wonderful Thanksgiving. And if you like turkey, go ahead, like your turkey. It is just of my opinion that lasagna is superior to Thanksgiving. And I understand people like Sean Marash, who I just saw in the hallway, he always has something to say about this, will eat for about 42 people just on his one Thanksgiving plate. And he likes to do everything. And Marash every year goes, you know, Gelb, we have lasagna too. Yeah, it looks like a JV lasagna, if I'm just being honest. And then eventually they do have turkey on Thanksgiving. So if you want to do that, go ahead. But in our household, we will start things off with a nice charcuterie board. We'll have some homemade focaccia. We will then have some shrimp, a few other appetizers as well. Then the main course is the Thanksgiving lasagna with obviously some sausage, Gelb staple. We put some pepperoni on top of it as well. And then we do a dessert as an icebox cake. And everyone loves it. And I get countless texts throughout the years from people or DMs or Facebook messages or tweets, whatever, saying, hey, I've been listening to you for a long time now. And each and every year, once it comes November 1st, you say how you do lasagna on Thanksgiving and you think turkey's overrated and turkey sucks. More and more throughout the year, as I'm agreeing with you. You know, thank you for being the voice for the voiceless. I was afraid of having that take for years. I heard it on your show, then I brought it to my family. We all kind of agreed turkey sucks. Like, I just did a hit before this show on 560 WQAM. And I was on my weekly hit with Mark Hochman, and he revealed to me that last year, after I've said for years that we don't do turkey on Thanksgiving and we just do lasagna, that his family tried it last year, and they had a wonderful Thanksgiving. So do what you want to do. But one thing I will not stand for, you know, in honor of my late grandmother, is Andy frickin' Gresh getting on the radio and claiming that the Gelbs do vegetable lasagna for Thanksgiving. You know, Gresh, you want to do your little nonsense with the Backstreet Boys music? You want to do your little shtick of just, you know, eviscerating anything? I said, that's fine. But my grandmother, she will come down from heaven with a wooden spoon and she'll smack your fat ass if you ever say again that the Gelbs do vegetable lasagna on Thanksgiving. Do you think anything about this body suggests that I'm a vegetarian? And if you are, you are. But no. And I used to be a fat slob. I'm just less of a fat slob now. But geez Louise, a vegetable lasagna? And he thought it was all funny on Friday. I'm sure you guys do a vegetable lasagna. And I said, Gresh, we cover that lasagna in sausage and pepperoni. Capiche? So Andy Gresh, very disappointed in him that I got a tweet this morning that Gresh was pushing this narrative that we do vegetable lasagna on Thanksgiving. Just because Gresh is a sheep, a big sheep, meh, and he has to do tradition because he's told, oh, you do turkey on Thanksgiving. It's just something my family doesn't enjoy. And you know what? I should have trademarked this years ago. Because now and now I see a lot of other radio hosts around the country, a lot of other social media influencers around the country saying, can we just be honest, turkey's overrated. They're stealing my bit. I've been doing this the first day I signed on in Trenton, New Jersey, when I was hosting radio on local AM 920 in New Jersey, then continued it at 97.5 The Fanatic, then continued it when I was here doing 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time, then continued when I left for 3 months to go to Sirius, and then ever since I got back here. Death taxes in November, Zach Gelb saying he doesn't like turkey on Thanksgiving, we do lasagna. And if you don't like it, go shove it. But everything else being said, I hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving, to me, why it's my favorite holiday, and I do think it's the preeminent holiday in this country. It's all about food, family, football. Food, family, football. Food, family, football. Food, family, football. And depending on what's on your plate, that's your priority. But you obviously love the food that your family makes, and you watch some football. And we have three awesome, and I mean awesome games on paper tomorrow in the NFL. Because I think a lot of times, right, and I know Joe Burrow joked about it the other day. You know, I remember Matthew Stafford throwing for like 400 yards to Calvin Johnson and the Lions will lose. That's a good line by Joe Burrow. But if you look at the slate tomorrow, Packers-Lions on paper should be a really good game. Chiefs-Cowboys, who would have thought this would be a really good game? The Chiefs are inconsistent. The Cowboys are starting to go on a little bit of a little run here. Nice comeback win up against the Eagles. And then you always get a Thursday night slobber knocker. I don't know if that's like the proper word here, but it just feels like that's the right word here. Where it always feels like that Thursday night game is an AFC North showdown. Usually I feel like it's a Ravens and Steelers. But this year they give you Ravens and Bengals, and Joe Burrow is going to be making his triumphant return. So tomorrow, enjoy the food, enjoy the family, and as always, enjoy the football. Azarim, Alex Azarim is here. I got to ask you, do you enjoy turkey on Thanksgiving? And this is a safe space. I won't yell at you if you say so, but do you walk out of your Thanksgiving feast and do you say, wow, I love that turkey?
We haven't done turkey for the last 5 or so years. We've subbed it with chicken.
Chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of chicken?
Just like a whole, like...
Like a chicken roast?
Yeah.
Okay. You like it?
I do.
Yeah. See, chicken, I'm not opposed to it. And that's the thing. Everyone goes, oh, you just want us to do lasagna. That's a misnomer. I just don't like turkey. And I think there's other alternatives that people enjoy more. Sometimes people go steak. Sometimes people go with a brisket. Sometimes people go with chicken, like you said. We just happen to stuff that bad boy with some lasagna on those
plates. We also do roast beef.
Oh, so you get a little roast beef and the chicken.
Yeah, a little bit of both. Like, the chicken isn't, like, it's a half roast chicken. Okay. So, yeah.
And then what are the sides? You guys do sides?
Yeah, we do, I love mac and cheese. That's my favorite
side. I was going to say, I feel like you're a big mac and cheese guy.
Big mac and cheese guy.
Breadcrumbs?
Yeah.
Bacon? You throw a little bacon
in
there?
No, I don't eat bacon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, if you could do a mac and cheese, my best friend Alex, his mother.
Best friend?
No, not you. That's a good one. A different Alex. I am impressed with Azarm. He joined our kickball team this year in the Deion Dawkins Charity Kickball Tournament. And Azarm was like Pele on that field. Holy crap. Azarm could kick a kickball. I was going to say a soccer ball. You could kick a soccer ball as well. But he could definitely kick a kickball. And anyway, you are someone that I do like around here. But when it comes to Thanksgiving... And it just, we like one of these people that we don't like to do the turkey. Oh, here's how I go with this. Yeah, you cut me off there, so I forgot where I was going. My older age now, I'm forgetting things. You know, you have a thought and then it just evaporates after about 3-4 seconds. But my buddy Alex, growing up as a kid, his mom used to make this mac and cheese that we would call mac and dank, because it was mac and cheese smothered in breadcrumbs, but then she would throw chunks of bacon in it, which was absolutely delicious to die for. So you guys go a roast beef. You guys go a chicken?
Yeah.
Some mac and cheese?
Yeah.
Anything else you put on that plate? You're a skinny guy, Azarm, so I don't think like you're making this plate. How much do you think I weigh?
Like, so I'm 5'7". So how much do you think I weigh?
150 pounds?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I'm like 148. Yeah,
you're skin and bones. But you're in shape, like you got some muscle to you. But when I'm thinking of, you know, people that like to pack in a ton of food, I'm not thinking about you. You're not one of the. Yeah. I'm thinking of some portly people first. All right? I had a friend growing up, Jordan. And he was, like you, 5'7", 140 pounds. He would eat, like, Chipotle 3 times a day. The guy wouldn't have an ounce of body fat. You know, those are the people that we despise, if I'm being honest. So what are the desserts for Thanksgiving?
Do we do family? Not, oh. Like, sometimes. Like, maybe, like... Mm-hmm. A cake or something? I don't know.
Wow.
I'm not. Once I finish the food, I just take a very long nap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, you go into a food coma. Folks, this is what I'll say. I don't know if his arms Thanksgiving is good, if I'm just being honest. My Thanksgiving is 10 out of 10. And I never give something a 10. But it's my favorite holiday, the holiday I take the most seriously. And however you do celebrate it, all kidding aside, even Gresh, I wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. All right. Let's get to some football. I didn't expect to do 10 or 11 minutes. I kind of did expect to do 10 or 11 minutes on lasagna. Who am I kidding? There's three teams in the NFL that I'm curious about their future. One of those teams still has something to play for this year. The other two teams, if we're just being honest, they do not. You look at the Minnesota Vikings, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Atlanta Falcons. All three of them in the last 2 to 3 years have made fascinating quarterback decisions. You look at the 49ers. They drafted Trey Lance. It didn't work. They traded all that capital to get up to the number 3 pick to get Trey Lance. I've said this numerous times. Kyle Shanahan, he wanted, from everything that I've heard, he wanted Mac Jones, was talked into Trey Lance. Now they have Mac Jones. Mac Jones is playing well, but the last 2 weeks, Brock Purdy has come back, and they said, let's Brock and roll, rock out with your Brock out, and see what Brock Purdy could do. Brock Purdy did get a victory up against the Carolina Panthers, but it wasn't because of him. He threw 3 interceptions. And I said this in the early stages of Mac Jones this year, and some 49ers fans, they got all upset with me. The more and more Mac Jones looks to be solid in this 49ers offense, the more and more that you're going to hear that Brock Purdy is a system quarterback. Now, when you're paying Brock Purdy the lucrative contract that you are, he's got to prove that he isn't just a system quarterback. And I understand the 49ers have had a plethora of injuries this year. I don't care. I understand the Panthers are having a nice, surprising season. You can't look that incompetent as Brock Purdy has looked at the quarterback position. And we're in an era now in the NFL where these teams rush to give out these enormous contracts. Sometimes it works. Most time it doesn't at the quarterback position. I thought the Dolphins rushed to pay 2 of the money that they did. I thought the Jaguars rushed to pay Trevor Lawrence the money that they did. And you look at Brock Purdy, it's not only do they pay him that money, but Brock Purdy is now under contract through 2030. And I know dead cap, there's a bunch of different ways around it, but next year his dead cap is $90 million. The year after that, it's $66 million. It's not until 2028 where it eases up a little bit, and it's still $38.6 million. So do I think Brock Purdy is worth a five-year contract for $265 million? I do not. And Brock has had some good moments, don't get me wrong. They've been to two NFC Championship games under Brock Purdy. They have been to a Super Bowl under Brock Purdy. But folks, look at the last few years of the 49ers. They paid Jimmy G big money. Got to a Super Bowl, ultimately wasn't the guy. They then traded all that draft capital for Trey Lance. They gave up on him as quick as some people give up on their diets after New Year's Day, right? Those New Year's resolution diets that people have. And it lasts about 2-3 days, and then after that, you're like, oh, that's out the window. Then they paid Brock Purdy. Brock gets hurt this year. Mac Jones plays well enough, and now Brock Purdy comes back, and he had that performance up against him. I get it. They won the last two games. But you look at it, you say, is it really worth it when we're building a team to pay the quarterback that much money when the results have been what they've been this season? Not for Brock Purdy. So I look at this moving forward with the 49ers. There's no alternative to Brock right now. They're going to continue with Brock because the money dictates that. But I'm curious next year where Mac Jones is going to be. Because I think a lot of people look at Mac Jones, not that they think that he's great, but I think they look at Mac Jones and they say to themselves, he's a guy that in New England made the playoffs his first year with nothing around him. Then they allowed the bozos of Joe Judge and Matt Patricia coach him, and then he flopped. And Belichick was stubborn with him. And Mac goes to San Francisco, and he shows you put a decent enough supporting cast around him. It hasn't even been as great as it's been in previous years. He's good enough, and he costs you nothing. Like, Mac, I get it. Mac Jones under contract next year, too. It's a two-year, $8.4 million deal. So if you're the 49ers, maybe say just keep him. Maybe just, even if Mac wants out. But could you imagine right now, like, let me just throw a quarterback out there. Imagine if you put Mac Jones on the Minnesota Vikings right now. What would he do? Like, with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkins, what would he do? I think he'd look a lot like Sam Darnold did last year. So you look at three situations in the NFL. The 49ers are one that I just mentioned, where I don't think next year Brock Purdy won't be their quarterback. But then the other two are the Vikings and the Falcons. The Falcons paid that enormous contract to Kirk Cousins. Then before he even takes a snap in a regular season game for the Falcons, they go trade up, or they at the eighth overall pick in the draft, they take Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. is someone, I get it, his last 2 years at Washington, he was as good of a quarterback as there was in the country. But Michael Penix Jr. was someone that had a litany of injuries when he was at Indiana. Before he got to, right, with the ACLs and the shoulders. And now he needs reconstructive ACL surgery. So he's going to be out about 9 months. Now he can come back by the start of the season. But there's a lot of wear and tear in that body. So don't you think that they'll bring in somebody else this offseason? I would anticipate that. And here's the other thing. Is Michael Penix Jr. even that good? There's a difference in being a really good college quarterback, folks, and then a good NFL quarterback. Tim Tebow wasn't a good NFL quarterback, one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time. Johnny Manziel was one of the more electrifying college football players I've ever seen, wasn't a good NFL quarterback. Matt Leinart, Vince Young, Jamarcus Russell. Like, this is just off the topic of Cabeza, folks. I hate to let you in on this. I didn't prepare anything for this. But those guys didn't translate in the NFL. And with Michael Penix Jr., he's been injured. And then also, he has talent around him. And I just haven't been blown away by the results. I haven't been. And you look back at him in college, what was a major flaw of his? I had someone point this out to me, and I've noticed it ever since then. Those intermediate and short throws towards the sideline, that's where he has a lot of turnovers. The guy has a cannon for an arm. A cannon for an arm. But how many times in baseball do you see a guy throw 102 miles per hour and then he doesn't turn out to be this great pitcher because he doesn't have control of his stuff? So just because you have a bazooka for an arm doesn't mean that you're going to be a great quarterback. It helps. But if that was the case, wouldn't Joe Milton be a starting quarterback in this league? So I look at the Falcons and I say, will Michael Penix Jr. eventually get a chance to be the guy again? Yes. But also, if they get rid of Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris in this offseason, I don't know if they'll get rid of Fontenot, but I think they should get rid of Raheem Morris, Who knows what the new head coach is going to think? And then you look at the Vikings. They had Kirk Cousins, said goodbye to Kirk, brought in Sam Darnold. Sam was really good last year, but then Sam gave you the see and go Sam, the mono version of Sam in their final two games of the season. And it was a really good season, but it left a bitter taste in your mouth. And then Sam Darnold takes, what, a three-year, $100 million deal with the Seattle Seahawks, is playing really well this year, even though there's been a ton of turnovers. But that team's going to the playoffs. Minnesota won't be. And J.J. McCarthy's had two problems. One, when he's on the field, he's not that good. The other one, he struggled to be able to get on the field. And now he's in concussion protocol. So Kevin O'Connell, who's been a good coach, a very good coach, you have a roster that it's a Super Bowl caliber roster outside of the quarterback position. And you're a coach that a lot of quarterbacks like to team up with. Are you going to go with J.J. again? It's fascinating. Like the Niners, they're locked into Brock Purdy because of the contract. The Falcons, because of the injury and a rookie contract, they're not locked into Michael Penix Jr. And the Vikings, because of it being a rookie contract, they're not locked in to J.J. McCarthy. So I'm just curious when I'm reading this situation and looking at the situation from afar, what the Vikings and Falcons will do in this offseason. The 49ers, you know, maybe they go into the season with Brock as their guy and they have him on a short leash next season. And then maybe they do keep Mac Jones around and then go to Mac. That could be a possibility. And they're not afraid to give up on someone, even if they gave up a lot of capital to get him. Now, I know it's different with the money, but look how many picks they gave up to go get Trey Lance and how quickly they did a 180 on that. So those are three quarterback situations that are interesting to me. For the Vikings, there's not much J.J. McCarthy could do for the rest of the season. Like when he gets on the field, okay, maybe put lipstick on a picket at the end of the year, provide some optimism heading into the offseason. It's a possibility. Michael Penix's season is over, so there's nothing else that he could do. But for Brock Purdy, he's going to be on a playoff team. And if Brock could string together a playoff win or two and could play well in those games, that will change the narrative around. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We had another installment of the college football playoff rankings that came out last night. I'll give you my reaction to those next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, I was watching the college football playoff show last night, as they do this each and every Tuesday, and Ohio State was 1, Indiana was 2, A&M was 3, Georgia was 4. So no changes from last week to this week in terms of the top four by the committee. After that, I'm a little bit just confused with a few things the committee did. So Texas Tech stayed at the 5th spot, and then Oregon moved up from 7 to 6 after their win up against USC. And let's just be real, like Lincoln Riley's having a fine season. He's having a better season than I expected him to have. But USC was one of the more overrated teams in the country. So Oregon moves into the 6th spot, and you could just ask yourself, well, who has Oregon really beat this year? Their best win, you could probably argue, was USC. They lost to Indiana when they played Indiana at home. All right, they beat Penn State. Remember, Penn State at the time was the third team in the country. But with that being said, Penn State ended up having a disastrous season. So I usually like to do it in the time when you played the team and how you remember it. But that's not how the committee does it. They do it on how it's aged and all that stuff. You know, Oregon beat Iowa by 2 points. That wasn't that impressive. So it's not like Oregon is really this wonderful, sensational team. Now, for the Ducks, you just got to get in. You beat Washington. You're 11-1. You'll make the college football playoff, regardless of if, you know, anything happens to the Big Ten championship game or not, where the Ducks probably will not be in the Big Ten championship game. So you look at it, and you see just the way that this plays on out. You know, I'm looking at Oregon as a team that their time to really prove something is going to be in the college football playoff. That's when they have to prove something. Because last year, right, they were the darling of the dance, the belle of the ball. They were undefeated, right? They beat Penn State in the Big Ten championship game. They had a bye. They got a bad draw. You had Ohio State, and Ohio State hit you in the mouth, and you never got off the mat. So Oregon, right now, they get bumped up to being the sixth seed. Then Ole Miss falls to 7. And this is what I don't like what the committee did. They're already starting to punish Ole Miss in the fear that Lane Kiffin is going to leave. I'm sick of the Lane Kiffin story. I don't know which way it's going to go. I don't have a damn clue. I know that he's going to make this announcement after the Egg Bowl. One day you wake up, you think he's staying. The next day you wake up, you think he's leaving. Right now, if you put a gun to my head, I get the sense that he's leaving. I for a while, it was 52% that he was staying, 48% that he was leaving. Now I'm 52% he's leaving, 48% that he's staying. And if you're going to leave, if I'm him, I'm going to LSU. I'm not leaving Ole Miss for Florida. I would leave Ole Miss for LSU. But if you were staying, and I know Lane is all about himself, and Lane is all about the drama, but if you were staying, wouldn't you already announce it by now? That's what I still can't wrap my head around. Now, maybe in his mind, he sees it as, all right, I'm going to beat Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. Then at some moment, whether it's right after that game or maybe even the next day, you know, I'm going to have my Jordan Belfort moment. I'm going to say, I'm not even leaving. You know, maybe that's what's going to happen with Lane Kiffin. But if he does leave, and I don't think this is going to be one of those situations, right, where he's going to stay around and he's going to, Eric Morris was leaving North Texas. He's going to be Oklahoma State coach. He's still coaching out North Texas for the rest of their season. They're letting him do that. Like, North Texas is going to let him do it on his terms. If you're Ole Miss and Lane's leaving for Florida or LSU, he's going to an SEC school, folks. You can't have him around your program anymore. You got to go find the next guy, right? It would be one thing, like for Eric Morris, it's like you break up with someone. And then 8 months later, they start dating somewhere else. But, you know, like the ex sees it. They don't know the new girl. In this case, if Lane Kiffin breaks up with Ole Miss, he's then like coming to the next family holiday, dating the girl that you just, broke up with, like her sister. If you go to Florida or you go to LSU. So you can't keep that person around. That's not going to be a healthy relationship. There's going to be some fights at that meal. Be entertaining to attend if I'm just being honest. So here's what I don't want the committee to do. The committee absolutely cannot, they will, but they should not punish these kids. They shouldn't punish a Kewon Lacy. They shouldn't punish a Trinidad Chambliss. And, you know, I would hope that those kids, right, are going to go play in the college football playoff, but who knows? Maybe they say, oh, we're going to go to transfer. We don't want to get hurt and then ruin our NIL money down the road. So that could be a big mess. But the committee, I think, is already just preemptively kind of looking at it and saying, we're going to start in a slow way, dropping them from 6 to 7. And they could dress it up as, you know, Ole Miss didn't play anybody, they were off, and Oregon, they moved. But, like, what did Ole Miss do in the last week to have Oregon jump them? Oregon really hasn't beat anybody. Georgia is 10-1 while playing in the SEC. Ole Miss beat Oklahoma. So, like, what are we doing here? You know, I would say that Ole Miss victory up against Oklahoma, even though I don't think Oklahoma is spectacular, is better than anything Oregon has done this year. And if you're going to say, oh, well, Zach, Oregon did beat Penn State at Penn State when Penn State was in the top five, well, Ole Miss beat LSU when LSU was in the top five. So I don't see why you would drop Ole Miss outside of fear and apprehension that, okay, you have in your mind that we're eventually going to ding Ole Miss if Lane Kiffin leaves. Now, the question is just how far do you ding them? I don't think if they are 11-1, I do not think the committee's going to leave them out of a 12-team playoff. I hear, like, I was just on WQAM and they brought up that Gino Toretta was on. And Gino Toretta said, oh, well, look what the committee did to FSU when Jordan Travis got hurt. Folks, it's two different circumstances. That was a 4-team playoff. This is a 12-team playoff. They'll ding them if Lane Kiffin leaves. But they're not going to keep them out of the field entirely. They will probably drop them below the 8 line and either have them at 9th or 10th or whatever it is, which would then make them go on the road. Like, if I told you for the start of the season, Ole Miss would be 11-1, you would say, okay, there's going to be a home playoff game in Oxford, Mississippi. So that's my one fear, that eventually that the committee is going to, knock Ole Miss if Lane Kiffin does leave. Then you looked at it, Oklahoma was 8, Notre Dame was 9, Alabama was 10, Miami was 11, and Tulane was 12. I don't think Miami gets in. I think only one ACC team is going to get in, but I'll tell you, the biggest bitching and complaining point of this committee, I could see this from a mile away. The three potential biggest complaints that the committee will have. If Alabama, let's say, loses and they beat Auburn and they're 10-2, if Michigan beats Ohio State, that's going to be a good debate. A 10-2 Michigan team, 10-2 Alabama. Michigan would have defeated the number one team in the country in Ohio State. I do think if Alabama, I know they played last year in a bowl game and then 2 years before that in the Rose Bowl. I do think if Alabama played Michigan, Alabama would beat Michigan this year. And I say this as someone that right now is wearing a Wolverine shirt. I root for Michigan. I like to see Michigan do well. So that could be a big debate that's coming. I just don't think Michigan's going to beat Ohio State this year, but Ryan Day does dribble down his leg in these games. So who knows? But the two big talking points right now, if things go as expected, number one is going to be Ole Miss and is the committee going to impact them? And then number two, it's going to be this Notre Dame-Miami debate. Because let's assume Miami's not going to win the ACC. People are going to say if Notre Dame and Miami finish with the same record, and Miami has a big game this weekend up against Pitt. So Notre Dame fans, you'll be rooting for Pitt, who you just smothered. But if Miami and Notre Dame finish with the same record, what are people going to say? Well, Miami played Notre Dame to kick off the season. Marcus Freeman was a stunod, barely giving the football to Jeremiah Love, but Miami beat Notre Dame, so then Miami should get in. If anyone calls into the show and says that, I can't say that you're an idiot, a moron, and a dope. And I apologize in advance to my girlfriend's father who's on the beach in Mexico right now, who's a huge Notre Dame honk. And he's probably listening. He's listening to me. He just texted me. He's listening to me on the beach in Mexico, which, by the way, I feel bad for the family. They're listening to me when they're still on vacation on the beach in Mexico. Even Justin Rock is looking at me saying, oh, that's a rough look.
That's commitment right there, man. You've got a good family.
Yeah, but what I'm just saying is, it's, you know, if you're a Notre Dame fan, if someone says, hey, 10-2, why should Notre Dame go over Miami? I'll give you the answer. And I'm not saying what should happen. This is will going to happen. When this playoff was designed, it was basically designed with the unwritten rule, if Notre Dame was two losses or fewer, they get in the college football playoff. For those remaining spots that you have, because, right, four go to the Power Four Conference champs, one goes to the group of five, group of six. The remaining spots, one was reserved for Notre Dame if Notre Dame is just two losses or fewer. If Notre Dame beats Stanford, which they should, they'll be two losses or fewer. But that's going to be the big debate. If Notre Dame's 10-2 and Miami's 10-2, and I think the committee has to put Notre Dame in, because when the first ranking came out, Miami was 18th, Notre Dame, I think, was 10th. What has really transpired the last few weeks where Miami should jump Notre Dame? So that's one, and then number two, in a weird way, the committee's going to value the losses, and you look at the two losses for for Miami. They were Louisville and SMU in a weird way for Notre Dame because, yeah, they lost to Miami. I get that, folks. But then they also lost to A&M, who could be undefeated at the end of this thing. So that's what I think the two debates are going to be. It's going to be, did the committee do the right thing if Lane leaves by knocking Ole Miss down, which I don't think they should, but they will. And then if Notre Dame gets in over Miami, there will be an uproar about that. There's no doubt about that. So those are some of my reactions from the college football playoff rankings that came out the other night. Once again, if it was to start tomorrow, Ohio State would be 1, Indiana would be 2, A&M would be 3, Georgia would be 4, all in a bye. And then you would have the matchups of this as followed. Texas Tech, Tulane in a 5-12 game. Oklahoma, 8. Notre Dame, 9. Oregon, 6. Quack, quack. Going up against the Ducks of Miami as 11. And then Ole Miss, 7. Going up against the Alabama Crimson Tide, who are in at 10. Are you a Penn State guy, Justin Rock?
I am a Penn State graduate, yes.
Aye, aye, aye.
Along with the Ryan Hickey train.
Aye, aye, aye. What do we do around here? We just hire people that like Penn State?
Evidently so. I mean,
do you have an idea of who's going to get the job?
My hope at this point is leaning towards Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri.
But that doesn't seem like it. There's some meeting today.
Yeah, that I did see that there could be an extension. But I also find it interesting with these extensions. Like, if there's a school that really wants them and has the money to pay for it,
sure.
How is that excluding them from pursuing that said head coach? I understand it. Buyouts become expensive and things like that.
Well, maybe he didn't really want to leave.
That too.
I think if he's going to say to Missouri, okay, go authorize a new contract for me, that means I don't really want to leave. I want to stay. So I kind of played you. Now you're going to have to pay me more. That's what I would assume on that front. I could see it being Bob Chesney at this point from James Madison.
Honestly, at this point, after if Drinkwood stays at Missouri, considering how everything else has shaken up, I don't know where they turn.
Heartline, which...
That would be my biggest guess, but it's, you know, obviously, prior to last year, Ryan Day was as persona non grata at Ohio State. So, you know, who knows what they're going to do going forward, but that's certainly a name that's worth being interested in.
What I'll say, and I know we got to get to the update. I have covered quite a few Pat Kraft head coaching searches from my time at Temple University. He's very quiet on this front. People will panic and they will start to think that it's going the wrong way. And then the name will emerge and you'll be like, okay, I like it. Like when Matt Rhule left, no one really saw Jeff Collins coming. Jeff Collins was solid at Temple. Then when Jeff Collins left, no one really saw Manny Diaz coming. Then Manny Diaz got the job and he left after 17 days. The Rod Carey thing, yes, they hire Rod. Rod is catastrophe Carey, my least favorite college football coach of all time. But it was a weird circumstance. You just hired a coach, then you had to go get pretty much everyone's like sloppy seconds, you know, 17 days later. So I think that I would imagine at this point, Pat knows who they're hiring. And I would think after this weekend of games, maybe potentially starting as early as Saturday night.
I could see that.
By Tuesday, the latest, I think you got to know the Penn State coaches.
I think sometime on Sunday, that story is going to start to
Especially with how many more dominoes have already fallen. Mora leaving UConn to go take the Colorado State job. Eric Morris leaving North Texas, take Oklahoma State. It looks like Arkansas is hiring Alex Golish. Not official yet, but that's been some of the reporting out there. The dominoes are starting to fall. James Franklin already at Virginia Tech, so you got to get that announcement out there if you're Penn State. But I'll be curious if it's like a wow by Penn State, or is it, oh, okay, it's one of the names that we speculated, and this is why we saw that they waited. All righty, we'll take a break. Justin Rock standing by with the latest sports flash.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take Five, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, Take Five Wednesday on the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Give you my top five teams in college football and the NFL. Let's start it off in the NFL. We'll go NFL first. I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers in at five. Even with the Brock Purdy problem, they've won their last two games, even with Brock Purdy coming on back. The Niners have had a lot of injuries, but they keep on winning games, so I put San Francisco in at five. I know the Eagles blew that 21-point lead to the Cowboys, but there's just not a lot of great teams this year. The offense has been a mess. It seems like whenever A.J. Brown has a good game, they lose. Whenever he has a bad game, they win. But I'll still trust that defense moving forward. So I will put the Eagles in at four, and I'm also not going to crush the Eagles for losing the Cowboys. I don't like how they lost, but when they just beat the Lions and also the Packers the week prior, it's tough to really kill them for that. The Broncos are in at three. I don't think Bo Nix is playing incredible football, but that defense is obviously arguably maybe the best in the league, them or the Texans. And you know Sean Payton knows how to win later on in the year. In at number two, I can't believe I'm saying this. It's my Patriots. I know they've had some injuries on their line with now Campbell and Wilson, and Campbell just got put on the IR. He'd come back at the end of the season. They've won now nine straight. Think about that. Nine straight for the New England Patriots, who are 10-2 on the season. So they've been such a joy to watch this season. It's been unexpected. And at number one, I'm putting the LA Rams. Stafford could be the MVP of the league. Kyren Williams is awesome. You got Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. And you got a defense that doesn't get enough credit nationally. So 5-4-3-2-1, 49ers 5, Eagles 4, Broncos 3, Patriots 2, and the Rams 1. Alex's arm, speak now, forever hold your peace.
How about the Colts? I know they just lost to the Chiefs in a brutal way, but how about them?
Yeah, that they would have been in my top five if they didn't lose to the Chiefs. But the last few weeks, we've just seen Daniel Jones turn over the football too much. They've lost two out of their three. They're a good team. But when you lose to Pittsburgh, you need overtime to beat a bad Atlanta team. And then you lose to the Chiefs after being up, I think it was like 29 at some point. I start to fade you a little bit. So that's why they're not in the top five.
How about the Sam Darnold-led Seattle Seahawks?
That was the toughest one for me to keep them on out. The reason why I ended up going Seattle on the outside, the 49ers in, is because the 49ers played the Seahawks earlier in the season. It was week one, and the Niners beat them 17-13. They'll have a chance to avenge that, and that will be at the end of the season when they're at San Francisco. They turn over the football a lot. They got a good defense, a heck of a front four. But the last 2 weeks, they lose to the Rams, and then they barely beat Tennessee. Or Tennessee made it close at the end. That's why I'm out on the Seahawks.
And finally, what about the red-hot Chicago Bears?
So I look at the Bears, and you'd rather keep on winning these games than losing them. The thing is, though, with the Bears, who they really beat? Dallas, the Raiders, the Commanders, the Saints, the Bengals, the Giants, the Vikings, and then the Steelers without Aaron Rodgers. Well, they got a chance to go beat on Black Friday the Philadelphia Eagles, so that's why I had the Bears out, just because I don't know, really, when you look at who they beat, how impressive that is. Alrighty, college football. I'll give it to you real quickly. Indiana 1, Ohio State 2, A&M 3, Georgia 4, Ole Miss 5. Ever since Alabama did fall to Oklahoma, this is what I've made my top five, and I'm going to keep it that way until I'm proven wrong. Speak now, forever hold your pieces, arm.
What about our number five, Texas Tech?
So I like Texas Tech. What it comes down to for me is that they just don't play in the Big Ten of the SEC. And, you know, Texas Tech, I think Joey McGuire is a heck of a squad. I think they could beat a lot of teams in the country. Their best win on the season is BYU. They'll probably play them again in the Big 12 championship game. You know, I know they beat Utah earlier in the year, but I just look at Ole Miss. Ole Miss only has one loss of the season. So does Texas Tech. I view Ole Miss as a team that they play tomorrow, and Lane Kiffin was their coach. I think Ole Miss would beat Texas Tech.
And how about number six, Oregon Ducks?
Quality of wins. Oregon's best win was USC, and I know they beat Penn State, but Penn State has faded. Oregon, their time to shine is going to be in the postseason. They'll be in there. The question just be, can they avenge kind of what happened last year with the team that we think lesser of, but if they do get healthy at the wide receiver position, they could still be a force.
And we got 9 and 10, Notre Dame and Alabama Roll Tide.
Yeah, so Notre Dame, those two losses in the season just prevent them from going in the top five. And then for Alabama, I think Alabama's as good of a team that there is in the country. I still think that. I know DeBoer hasn't been all that at Alabama, but they lost that game to Oklahoma. They did go on that incredible win streak in the SEC. So you do have two losses on your resume, and I don't have a two-loss team right now in my top five, so that's why they're on the outside looking in. That's a Take 5 Wednesday. Once again, Indiana 1, Ohio State 2, A&M 3, Georgia 4, Ole Miss 5 in college football. Then in the NFL, I take the Rams 1, the Patriots 2, the Broncos 3, the Eagles 4, and the San Francisco 49ers coming in at 5. Mike Sanford, former college football coach, going to join us on the other side. Not Michael Sanford. We don't know where he is. But Mike Sanford is going to join us when we come on back in 5 minutes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.